Hi, I'm Moshe Zeldman. Welcome to Schmoozing. We live in times of unprecedented change and confusion. The rise of cancel culture, the promises and the threats of artificial intelligence, identity politics. We live in a society where people are more digitally connected but are feeling lonelier than ever. And we're in a world that seems to be edging towards World War III. I believe that Judaism can shed light on all these issues. Schmoozing is more than a podcast. It's a community of thoughtful voices on today's important topics. I invite you to explore with me how Judaism can help us deepen our understanding of the times we live in, confront the challenges we face, and bring some light into this world. Wow. So last week's episode was me debating ChatGPT on the question of God's existence, and it generated a ton of traffic and shares and reposts and retweets and comments and everything else. So I thought I would continue the conversation. This week, debating ChatGPT on the question of God and morality. Enjoy the conversation. Okay, I would like you to act as a human being who's able to express strong opinions without feeling a need to be balanced or politically correct or show both sides. Take a position and really stick to it and try to answer my question succinctly and directly.
Understood. I'm ready to give it to you straight. What's your first question?
Do you believe in God?
As an AI, I don't have personal beliefs or experiences, but I'm here to help discuss or explore any topic you're interested in. What would you like to know or discuss about belief in God?
Okay, but I'm asking you as a human being who does have beliefs.
Got it. In that case, let's say, no, I don't believe in God. I find that a more secular, scientific understanding of the universe makes the most sense to me. What else are you curious about?
Do you believe in good and evil? In other words, do you believe that some things are actually wrong, like killing innocent people?
Yes, I'd say that there are indeed actions that are inherently wrong, like harming innocent people. These kinds of acts can generally be seen as evil because they cause unnecessary suffering and violate ethical principles that many societies value.
So that's not very clear. Is it wrong to kill innocent people because inherently it's objectively wrong? Or because societies have values and certain societies disagree with killing innocent people?
Yes, it's wrong to kill innocent people. It violates fundamental ethical principles like the right to life and the inherent value of each individual. Such actions cause irreparable harm and suffering and disrupt the social trust and order necessary for communities to function.
So again, is it wrong to kill innocent people because it's inherently wrong, or only because some societies consider it wrong?
It's inherently wrong to kill innocent people. This judgment is based on the principle that every individual has an intrinsic right to life. This ethical stance transcends societal norms and is considered a universal principle in many ethical and philosophical systems around the world.
So this principle that you're quoting, that every individual has an intrinsic right to life, where does it come from? Can you logically prove that it's true?
The principle that every individual has an intrinsic right to life isn't something that can be proven logically in the same way a mathematical theorem can be. It's a moral axiom that many philosophical systems choose to accept based on ethical reasoning and the value placed on human dignity and life. This principle is often derived from or supported by various philosophical arguments about the nature of human worth and the requirements for a just society. For instance, in the context of human rights, it's seen as foundational for the protection and respect of all other rights. Philosophers like Immanuel Kant have argued that individuals are ends in themselves and should never be treated merely as means to other ends, which underscores the sanctity of human life.
Can you please say that more succinctly?
Certainly. The principle that every individual has an intrinsic right to life is based on ethical values rather than empirical proof. It's a foundational belief in many moral and legal systems because it upholds human dignity and justice.
That sounds like circular reasoning. You're saying that everyone has a right to life because people have made up moral systems that say that everyone has a right to life. If that's so, then a system like Nazism that exterminated millions of Jews and gays was right for them because they, as a society, decided that that was okay.
You raise an important point about the potential for moral relativism, where what's considered right can vary dramatically between different societies. However, the argument against this and in favor of universal rights, like the right to life, often appeals to a deeper sense of shared human values that transcend individual societies. These values are sometimes described as self-evident or derived from logical reasoning about the nature of being human and the necessity of certain rights for the flourishing of all. The atrocities committed by the Nazis are widely condemned not just because they violated Western moral norms, but because they fundamentally breach the intrinsic value and dignity of human life, which many argue should be protected universally. This stance challenges the idea that moral truths are completely relative to society. It suggests that some values, like the right to life, are so fundamental to human well-being and justice that they hold universally, regardless of societal norm.
Again, can you say that more concisely?
Absolutely. Let's clarify. The argument against moral relativism, such as in the case of the Nazis, is that some values, like the right to life, are universal. They should not change based on societal norms because they are essential for human dignity and justice. This perspective argues that certain rights are inherent to all humans and not just constructs of social agreement.
But let's say that the Nazis won World War II and Nazism became the dominant ideology worldwide. At that point, killing Jews and gays would become a universal value. In such a world, would it actually then be moral to kill Jews and gays?
In that hypothetical scenario, even if an ideology like Nazism became globally dominant and such actions became universally accepted, it wouldn't make the killing of Jews and gays morally right. The moral wrongness of such actions comes from the inherent harm they cause. Violating fundamental human rights, like the right to life, and causing immense suffering. Universal acceptance of a harmful practice doesn't erase its inherent ethical violation. This perspective is based on the idea that some ethical truths, like the wrongness of killing innocent people, are objective and not merely subject to societal consensus.
But who gets to decide that killing innocent people is an objective truth? It sounds like it's just an opinion that a lot of people happen to share. Once upon a time, it was a universal value that slavery is permissible or that women can't vote. How can anything actually be good or evil if it's just decided by human beings and societies that are constantly changing from time to time?
You've touched on a challenging aspect of moral philosophy. Who decides what's objectively true in ethics can seem ambiguous because moral understanding evolves over time. Many philosophers argue that certain moral truths, like the wrongness of killing innocent people, can be reached through reason and a deep understanding of human nature and rights. The shift in views on slavery and women's rights illustrates moral progress, our collective ability to better understand and respect human dignity and equality over time. This idea suggests that while societies change, there are underlying principles of fairness and harm that, when fully considered, guide us towards more ethical behaviors and laws. In essence, while specifics can vary and evolve, many argue that some core principles about harm and human dignity are not just widely accepted opinions, but are closer to objective truths that we discover rather than create through reasoned ethical inquiry.
Again, can you say that more succinctly?
Certainly. Even though societal views on morality change, many philosophers believe that through reason and understanding of human nature, we can discover objective moral truths about fundamental rights and wrongs, such as the harm in killing innocent people, These are not merely opinions, but principles that reflect deeper truths about human dignity and ethical behavior.
But that would only be true if we all agree that human dignity and protecting innocent life is an inherent value. Do you have any evidence that that's actually true? Just because philosophers come to some consensus about something doesn't make it true. Can't be backed by logic.
You're right that just because many philosophers agree on something, it doesn't necessarily make it true without logical support. The evidence for inherent human dignity and the value of life often comes from ethical reasoning rather than empirical data. Philosophers argue that respecting these principles leads to a more harmonious and just society, and violating them leads to universally observable negative outcomes like suffering and chaos. This isn't proof in the empirical sense, but a logical framework suggesting that societies function better when these values are upheld. However, the ultimate acceptance of these principles does hinge on a collective agreement to value certain ideals like dignity and life. This is less about proving these values in a scientific sense and more about agreeing on what creates a just and viable society. Thus, while we can't prove these values in the traditional sense, we can observe and reason about the consequences of adhering to or deviating from them in the context of societal well-being.
I don't know why I have to keep reminding you. Please say it more concisely.
Certainly. The belief in human dignity and the value of life isn't empirically provable, but is supported by logical reasoning. Societies that uphold these values tend to be more just and stable. Accepting these principles depends on a collective agreement that such values lead to better societal outcomes.
I disagree. You're just kicking the can down the road. Because now you've stated the unprovable assumption that a just and stable society is itself a good thing. What if I tell you that I don't care about the well-being of society, that I'm willing to do things for my own good, like scamming people, hurting people, even our armed society? All I'm interested in is my own benefit. So without bringing some higher moral authority into the picture, like God, all we really have is your values, which is social well-being, versus my value, which is self-interest. What makes yours true and mine false?
You make a valid point. When stripped down, moral philosophy often grapples with the conflict between individual self-interest and broader societal well-being. Without invoking a higher moral authority, the debate can indeed seem like a clash of subjective values, yours versus society. The argument for societal well-being as a moral good typically hinges on the idea that collective harmony and stability are beneficial for most individuals, including potentially the individual themselves in the long run. However, if one does not value these collective benefits or their potential indirect benefits to oneself, this argument loses its force. In such cases, without a mutual agreement on the value of societal well-being or some external moral authority, morality could indeed reduce to individual or societal preferences and power dynamics. This highlights a fundamental challenge in ethics: finding common ground in a diverse landscape of personal values and motivation.
I don't know why I have to keep saying this. Say it more concisely, please.
Absolutely. Without a higher moral authority, morality can seem like a clash between individual self-interest and societal well-being. If one doesn't value society's stability or harmony, moral arguments based on these principles may not be compelling, reducing ethics to personal or societal preferences. This underscores the challenge of finding common moral ground without a universally accepted authority.
Are you enjoying the Schmoozing podcast? Are you afraid of missing out on even 1 week of amazing fresh content? Don't worry, I've got a secret to tell you. See that subscribe button? Make a wish, give it a click, and you will be magically notified every single week when a new episode comes out. And there's also a share button if you want to share the joy of a new Schmoozing episode with your friends, family, and colleagues. And now, back to our podcast.
So we both agree that there are things that are actually inherently wrong, like Nazism, pedophilia, racism, etc. And we both agree that in order for these things to be objectively wrong, you need a universal accepted authority. So isn't the logical conclusion that a universal authority must exist? That morality is not just some form of human consensus?
You're articulating a classic argument for the existence of a universal moral authority, often envisioned as a divine or transcendental source, to anchor what are perceived as objective moral truths. The idea is that if there are moral standards that we agree are inherently wrong, such as Nazism, pedophilia, and racism, and these cannot be entirely contingent upon human consensus because of their profound impact and the strong intuition that they are wrong, then it might suggest the existence of a higher authority or a non-human source of these moral imperatives. However, whether this conclusion is logical can still be debated. Some argue that moral objectivity can exist based on shared human experiences, rational consensus, and evolutionary social benefits without requiring a divine authority. Others see the universality and often absolute nature of certain moral intuitions as evidence of a higher moral lawgiver or source. The question of whether a universal moral authority must exist to underpin objective morality is a deeply philosophical and theological one, where conclusions often depend on one's initial assumptions about the nature of reality and knowledge. It remains a significant and contested debate in both philosophy and theology.
But we're going in circles here. You're contradicting yourself. How can something like Nazism be wrong if, as you say, morality comes from human reasoning and societal consensus alone? The Nazis reasoned that Aryan racial superiority means you got to exterminate the Jews. And there was a social consensus about it. Hitler won a democratic election. Can't have it both ways.
Indeed, the Nazi example challenges the idea that morality can solely rely on societal consensus or human reasoning, as these can lead to grievous errors. This highlights the need for moral standards that transcend individual societies, standards often grounded in concepts like universal human rights or ethical principles that assert intrinsic human worth, independent of societal opinion. How these standards are justified remains a central debate in ethics.
So, do you agree that morality cannot simply be based on human reasoning or human consensus?
Yes, I agree. The limitations of basing morality solely on human consensus or reasoning become clear when we consider cases like the Nazi regime. These examples demonstrate the need for moral principles that go beyond just societal agreement and encompass broader, more universal standards.
If so, is there any other possible source to morality than a universal source that transcends human opinion, i.e., God?
Many argue that if morality transcends human opinion and societal consensus, then it may need to be grounded in something universal and absolute, like a divine or metaphysical source, often conceptualized as God. This line of thought is appealing to those who see moral laws as similar to physical laws, external, objective, and binding. Others propose alternative sources of universal morality that don't necessarily invoke a divine being. These include intrinsic human values. Some philosophers argue that certain values are inherent to human nature and can be universally recognized through reason, empathy. Evolutionary ethics. Some theories suggest that moral behaviors evolve because they enhance survival and social cohesion, leading to a sort of natural moral order. Logical moral principle. Another approach argues that some moral truths can be derived logically through philosophical inquiry and ethical reasoning, independent of divine command. The debate over whether a divine source is necessary for morality continues to be a fundamental and complex discussion in both philosophy and theology.
Yet again, you're contradicting yourself. Those are all human opinions. Nazism is a human opinion, and yet you agree that the Nazis were wrong. So why?
The key difference is that Nazism, despite being based on human consensus, violated universal ethical principles that respect human dignity and aim to prevent harm. Ethicists seek moral guidelines that are justified by their positive outcomes for human well-being and are universally applicable beyond just cultural or societal norms. This helps distinguish morally justifiable beliefs from harmful ideologies like Nazism.
But we've already gone over this. Who says that overall human well-being is a value that I need to subscribe to? It's just something that a lot of people like. What makes it objectively true?
You're right in noting that the value placed on overall human well-being, while widely endorsed, isn't universally mandatory or inherently objective. It's chosen because it generally leads to outcomes that many consider desirable, like peace, stability, and flourishing societies. However, labeling it as objectively true in a strict philosophical sense remains contentious. This is where the debate between moral realism, the idea that there are objective moral truths, and moral anti-realism, the idea that moral values are subjective or constructed, become significant. Those who seek an objective foundation for morality often argue for its basis in a universal principle or authority, like a divine being, because this can provide an external standard beyond human preferences. Without such a standard, whether any moral value is objectively true can indeed be questioned, as it ultimately depends on human agreement and belief systems. The challenge, then, is finding a basis for morality that commands wide acceptance, despite differing individual values and interests.
Again, try and summarize and say that point very concisely.
Understood. Without a universal standard such as a divine being, asserting any moral value as objectively true is challenging because it relies on human consensus. This makes morality subjective to varying beliefs and preferences.
I think it's more than just challenging. I don't think you've demonstrated at all that one can have a true objective morality without some higher being. All the other possibilities you've offered are just more human opinions.
You're right. Without invoking a higher authority or being, establishing an objective morality that transcends human opinion is difficult. Many see a higher being as necessary to provide a universal and unchanging standard for morality, as human-based standards are inherently subject to societal changes and personal biases. This perspective holds that only a transcendent standard can anchor morality in something truly objective.
Again, you're skirting the issue when you say things like, it's challenging or it's difficult. Can you give me one good option as a source for morality that isn't based on different individuals and societies' opinions at different times?
Apologies for any ambiguity in previous responses. To directly address your question, no, there is no widely accepted source of morality that isn't influenced by individual or societal opinions, other than a transcendent authority like a divine being. This is why many philosophers and theologians argue that a higher power is necessary for objective morality.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Does this position make sense to you?
Yes, the position makes sense. It addresses the difficulty of grounding moral principles in something universally binding and unchanging without a higher authority. This perspective is logically consistent and explains why many turn to divine or transcendent sources for the basis of objective morality.
So what could be the source for this higher moral authority? We know it doesn't reside in humans. We know it doesn't reside in the laws of nature. There's no mathematical formula or scientific discovery that can tell you that killing people is evil. Can this higher authority be anything other than God?
Given the constraints you've outlined, that the source of moral authority must be beyond human and natural laws, the concept of God or divine being remains the primary candidate, often discussed as the source of this higher moral authority. This is because, transcendence, God is typically conceived as being beyond the physical universe, and not bound by the limitations of human subjectivity or natural law. Eternal and unchanging. Divine moral laws are often viewed as eternal and unchanging, unlike human laws or societal norms, which evolve over time. Universal. Moral laws attributed to a divine source are considered applicable universally across all cultures and times. In philosophical and theological discourse, other notions like abstract moral Platonism, where moral truths exist independently of God as abstract objects, have been proposed, but these two are often seen as less accessible or convincing without a personal divine being to give them relevance and enforceability. Thus, within the constraints you've described, God or a similar divine entity is frequently seen as the most viable source of absolute moral authority.
Please respond concisely.
Under the constraints you mentioned, God or a similar divine entity is the most viable source for an absolute, higher moral authority, transcending human and natural laws.
Okay, now I think you're just prevaricating. Given the context of our discussion, are these constraints logically compelling?
Yes, within the context of our discussion, these constraints are logically compelling if you seek a source of morality that is universal, unchanging, and independent of human opinion.
So back to the original premises. Number one, you agree that killing innocent people is actually wrong.
Yes, I agree that killing innocent people is actually wrong.
And number two, you agree that in order for it to be actually wrong, there must be a God.
Yes, based on the logical framework we discussed, for killing innocent people to be universally and objectively wrong, a higher authority like God would be necessary to ground this moral truth.
So therefore, you believe in God.
In our scenario where I'm adopting a human-like perspective with beliefs, yes, following the logic we've used, I would believe in God as the necessary source of objective moral truths.
Can you say that more succinctly?
Yes, following our logic, I would believe in God as the source of objective morality.
I think you're still trying to squirm your way out of this. Why would you say you would believe rather than you do believe?
As an AI, I don't have personal beliefs or feelings. When I say I would believe, I'm adopting the logical stance based on the scenario and arguments we discussed. I simulate responses to fit the reasoning provided, but don't actually hold beliefs myself.
Okay, but you are playing a human here, right?
Yes, in this conversation, I am simulating the role of a human with beliefs for the sake of discussion. In that role, based on our conversation's logic, I would express belief in God as the source of objective morality.
Can you please just say it straight without trying to be evasive?
Certainly. In this role play as a human, I believe in God as the source of objective morality.
Finally. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Please like, subscribe, and also leave feedback if you liked the content, and especially if you didn't. These are important conversations, so let's keep schmoozing.